Welcome to another episode of Amplify, a podcast for creative and courageous entrepreneurs. As always, I'm your host, Kate K. McCarthy. Y'all, I've been thinking a lot about connection. In fact, I've been running an experiment behind the scenes all about like authentic and organic connection and reaching out and just, I want to use the word networking, but networking's not quite it, but connecting for the sake of connection, knowing that for me, in my business, in my brand, that finding and reaching out to like-hearted human beings has not only allowed my success to be sustainable and my business to continue to fuel me, even in those kind of like dark, wobbly moments, but it has also connected me with some incredible humans, people that I've hired or recommended or have become clients themselves. And I just wanted to encourage you before we get to the conversation for the day to really think about the role of connection in your business. One of the people that I have connected with recently online, she and I have been in kind of similar circles for a while now, is Jacqueline Yvette. And you can call her Jacqueline, you can call her Jackie, but she is a brand and marketing mentor. And I found her, it was, I think, on Facebook, in a Facebook group, and then really got to know her through her Instagram feed. Her Instagram is beautiful, y'all, but more importantly, she is just super real, super honest. She has such a spirit for service and connection and authentic engagement. And so I wanted to invite her in today to talk to us and share some of her beautiful wisdom around organic marketing. There are a lot of different systems and tools that you can use to kind of increase your reach in a, we'll call it non-organic format, like Facebook ads, Instagram ads, etc. But Jackie is a pro when it comes to organic marketing. And as she will share, organic marketing doesn't necessarily have a list of steps, doesn't come with a map. It's organic. That's why it's called that, which means that it also grows when it's nurtured in sometimes unexpected ways. But for both of us has been a beautiful key to continuing to reach the people who are our people, our humans, our dreamiest dream clients out in the world. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to Jackie. So for the people who have not heard of you quite yet, or who have not seen your beautiful Instagram feed or your content on Facebook, can you just tell us a little bit about who you are, what you're about, and what has brought you here?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Jacqueline Yvette. You can call me Jackie. And I am based in Chicago, but my heart belongs in San Diego, California. Mm-hmm. And I work with entrepreneurs of all kinds, mainly women, and I help them. I do brand and marketing mentorship. So I help entrepreneurs kind of communicate who they are, what they do, how they help people, and, you know, put their marketing out there into the world in a way that feels good both to them as they do it and to the people on the receiving end. Because I just think that there is such a better way and a more feel-good way to do business and marketing. And it doesn't have to be so hard and so just icky feeling.
On either side. I love that.
For lack of a better word. Yeah, yeah. Because I feel like there's so many things that, you know, we push ourselves to do in the name of putting ourselves out there. And it really, you know, we have to listen to our gut and think, you know, that doesn't really feel too good to me to write or to say or to launch or whatever. So it probably doesn't feel too great to people on the other side. And we're all just people. And that's how I think that business should be built. And the foundation is really just human to human. And when you come back to that place, marketing becomes so much easier. Business building becomes easier. Building a brand around who you are and your stories becomes easier and more intuitive. And so that's what I'm all about.
Ugh. Just like hearing you say that, like
something in my soul relaxes and also like also awakens, because I think that I have a hint that we work with many of the same types of human beings in the sense that like many of them are impact driven, wholehearted, like deeply connected, excited, passionate humans, and to try and show up or market in a way that like doesn't feel like that, doesn't feel wholehearted, doesn't feel authentic, doesn't feel aligned, doesn't feel good. It like dilutes all that is true about ourselves. And so I just, the way that you said that was just so eloquent. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I know that you're all about messaging as well. And it really, you know, like you said, the word dilute. And I love that you brought that up because I feel like that's so true. And, you know, it's not to say that everything in marketing and business and, you know, all the building a brand stuff is going to feel really great, right? Like not everything is going to feel fantastic and you're going to be like, oh, sunshine and rainbows every single day of doing this entrepreneur thing. Like we are crazy. Like entrepreneurs are nuts. We signed up for this crazy ride knowing that we are, you know, a little off our rocker, right? Like because we're going to go through this kind of crazy journey, not everything's going to feel amazing, but when you approach your communication, like, you know, I know that you do so well. And when you approach sharing your message in a way that is thoughtful and mindful and, you know, coming from that place, it really makes your message so much more full. And so I love that you mentioned the dilution of your message when you try to come across a certain way or do it, you know, fit yourself into a box. And so I think that's really at the core of a lot of what I like to talk about is really honing in on individual differences and being able to use that as your strengths instead of trying to put yourself into a box of what everybody else is doing and what seems to be working and Sally with the big business is doing this thing, you know, like it's amazing to help people come back to just self.
Oh, it's the best. I mean, there were two things that you were talking about that I found myself just like nodding along with. One of them being just this idea that like entrepreneurship is such a – I mean it's this wild journey. I was just talking the other day to a friend who's like, I just have to claim the fact that I'm like a little bit bananas. Like that like in order to do this, like you have to be comfortable being brave and courageous and taking risks and not everything panning out and some days being like super rough and other days being just really exciting and – on your game. I don't know, and I don't know if this has been your experience, but like, I don't know that there is anything other than maybe parenthood to teach you this much about yourself in that short of a time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a mom, but I mean, other than my fur right. children.
Exactly.
Yes. So I can't, you know, speak to that, but I can speak to entrepreneurship. And in the past 6 years, I feel more me and more like a friend to myself, as kind of like cliche as that sounds, through this journey than any other time in my life. And I mean, I started entrepreneurship at a very coming of age sort of period. I mean, I was 19 when I sort of fully leapt into it, but I've been a businesswoman since I was a little girl. But, you know, fully leaping into that, I don't know if it was just me growing up as one would or, you know, going through that entrepreneurial journey, but I know that, well, yeah, I mean, I would say that if I didn't have that, I don't know. Things would be a little bit different. I don't know if I would be as tapped into who I am as a person and learn that much about myself if I had not done that.
Yeah, I think so. I just know how much has, for me, like shifted and changed since I decided to try this thing. And when I look back, I've been in this space for about 4 years. And when I look back at it, I think like, oh my God, like life has changed so dramatically in the last 4 years. And I am, I think because of the mistakes I've made and the choices that I've made and like the conscious decision to continue to be myself in this space, I've become, as you said, like more me. Like something mm-hmm. has been awakened that like in a previous life, I probably would have shut off.
Right.
And I love that. And the second thing that you were talking about was just like marketing as a way of like being you mm-hmm. and owning those like quirks and differences. And so I thought maybe we could talk today about the power of organic marketing. Like there are so many of us that think of, myself included, we think of like ads and I don't know, maybe I think of it as like sprint marketing as like the easy button answer. But I think, and I think you and I share this value, mm-hmm. that organic marketing, first and foremost, is like so deeply powerful for your business and your brand and keeps you plugged in a way that you might not be if you were to outsource that side of your business. And so I think particularly for the solopreneurs in the audience, like maybe we can talk about organic marketing and like what it has meant to you and like how to make sure you're doing it well.
Yeah. And you know, it's so interesting because organic marketing is one of those things that it's almost hard to teach mm-hmm. because it's not a formula. It's not a blueprint. It's not a funnel. I mean, it can in some cases be a funnel, but, you know, there isn't a step-by-step process to organic marketing. And that's why it's organic, because it is so natural and it's different for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a really interesting topic, but I have never run a paid ad for this business in my entire life. I've run ads for more product-based businesses that I'm involved in, but, for this business, it's all organic. And so I kind of learned it out of necessity, because when I started, I was like, I don't have the money for ads. Like, I don't want to do that. but then I was like, you know what? I still need to reach people. And it all truly, Katie, comes down to like psychology mm-hmm. and knowing human psychology and how people think. And it's deeper than that, though. I think it's really tapping into your specific people, not just people in general, and the way that psychology works, you know, for humans as a collective, but more so, how do your people think? You know, what are their first concerns or thoughts when they hear a phrase or a word or come across a piece of your content? And what is their next step? What is the logical next step? You know, what are their hopes and dreams and their passions? What do their days look like? All of that stuff is so crucial in knowing how to market organically to those people, because it's going to be different for everybody. And, you know, then, so there's that part about knowing your people and being able to speak to them and recognizing their language and the communication. And then there's also your side, you know, being able to tell your stories and infuse your personality and be who you are and be vulnerable and open and confident. It really is a confidence piece in doing that. So there's kind of this internal like me thing, and then there's the them thing, the them piece. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's an even balance of both of those, and those fused together make for a really great foundation for organic marketing.
Oh, I love it. And I feels like you've also like kind of explained how relationships work.
It's funny. I've had someone say that before when I've kind of explained my approach to organic marketing, which isn't even really like a tactical approach at this point. But somebody was like, yeah, that's exactly how relationships work. And yes. I was like, yeah. And I'm single.
You've been building relationships with a lot of people.
Yes. So.
I think that that's incredibly true. And I think that so much of it, I mean, I don't know on the podcast if we have talked quite as much about the mindset piece of things, but I think that self-awareness and like the ability to, you know, it's so easy to feel desperate or confused or think that you need an answer that lies outside of yourself. But calming down and kind of silencing those voices and coming back to yourself, I think is such a huge piece. I mean, it's the me side piece, right? Of like, mm-hmm.
yeah.
One, like being able to communicate without it feeling or coming across as frazzled or fractured. And two, like really, if I'm not calm and knowing myself, it's really difficult to know another human and another human's desires and the way that my words might resonate with them. And I know for myself, like a lot of my work in my own organic marketing, which is a term that I don't know that I've ever applied. Like I love that you said that it's not like – it's not tactical. It's not like really a formulation or whatever mm-hmm. system. It's more of a – connection. I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it.
Well, and like you said, it really is all relationship building. So mm-hmm. like what works for Kate is not going to be the same thing that works for Jackie. And like, you know, it's going to be different for everybody, which is why, you know, and I imagine for listeners, this is somewhat frustrating to hear, you know, because they're like, okay, well, I want to have a huge launch. I want to make these sales. I want to help a lot of people. I want to, you know, have this big audience. How do I do this? Tell mm-hmm. me how, you know, they want to know, but it's really true. And, you know, it's not something that I can sit down and be like, these are the exact steps you take, but there are things that I've noticed that have worked well for me, if you want me to kind of mention a few of those.
I would love that. And I want to say this before I forget, really, is that I think that that's where the power of mentorships comes in. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you can take courses on non-organic forms of marketing. Like you can figure out how to outsource your Facebook ads. You can figure out kind of those non-organic systems and funnels. But I think that organic marketing really takes – it's like an emerging, it's an evolving, it's kind of like watching what happens and grows. And I love for my own business and also when working with clients, and I don't know, I'm going to assume that you feel the same way, is like watching mm-hmm. what shows up as you continue to see who you are, who your dream client is, and where that relationship builds and grows and what it becomes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that is definitely true. That's why one-on-one mentorship or intensives are so, so powerful when it comes to messaging and marketing strategy. If you're doing or approaching more of an organic strategy, if you will. So I think that that's so true. And, you know, not to say that there can't, I guess, be courses for organic marketing, but you're going to get the most when you can sit with someone and bounce ideas off and be able to say, okay, these are my people. This is who I am. This is my message. Mm-hmm. How can we try to communicate this? And, you know, I'll talk to people before my intensives. I do like 3-hour intensives on this sort of thing. And I'll talk to people and they'll say, okay, so what can I expect, you know, from this experience in terms of like sales? And I'm just kind of, I just kind of like laugh a little bit because I'm like, well, you know, that really depends. And, you know, it's all testing, right? Like it's you, and that's the same thing with anything with marketing, whether you're running ads or, you know, doing it organically, it really is you test and tweak and test and tweak until you find the combination of things that work and then you repeat it and then you tweak and then you repeat it again. Mm-hmm. And so it's always a process and it really, you know, it really is a long game.
Yes.
And we have to be in it to play the long game. And I'm not a patient person. Mm. And so I get it. You know, I'm that person that's like, why is this not working already? I just need it to work. I just, you know, I have things to do. Like, let's go. Yeah. But, you know, it really is a long game. And like you said, you've been doing this, Kate, for like 4 years, right? Yeah. So, I mean, we're continuously learning every single day and mm-hmm. tweaking as we go. And I think that that's just so important to note for the people listening who are like, okay, I've been doing this a year and I'm just, you know, not there yet. And just know that it really does take time and there really is no such thing as overnight success. And my overnight success was 6 years, right. You know? So people just don't see it until all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, she came out of nowhere and now she's having success. They don't see the underground work. So
yes,
I just thought that was important to note there.
Yes. No, I'm so glad. So you had mentioned that you have some kind of like tricks of the trade, things that have worked for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would say that the first and most important is storytelling. Mm-hmm. And storytelling is more than, you know, once upon a time, this happened. You know, anything can be a story. And I think people don't realize that. And I mean, I've probably told already like four stories within this conversation that are just short. And I always think of this one example that I like to note. A few years ago when I worked with a mentor, she sent out an email, even before I had signed up to work with her. And she sent out an email just in her newsletter to everybody. And it was short and sweet, but she was telling us about a story. She was telling us about her experience this week when she went to that week when she went to a conference, and it was snowy and really kind of a gross day. And she was driving around the hotel parking lot. She was going to this conference in some hotel, and she's driving around the parking lot looking for a parking spot. She's like, I do not want to walk far, you know, in the snow and in nice clothes. And so she's driving around, she's in one aisle, and she's doing that thing that we've all done where we sit in our car waiting for the people who are walking out of a building to get into their cars and, you know, leave an open spot. And so she's sitting there at the end of an aisle or a lane, whatever, and she sees people coming out of the hotel, and they all seem to be going to the lane next to her. The next one in the parking lot. And so she moves her car over there to grab one of their spots. And then she looks back over to her left from the lane she was just in and sees people coming out of that lane. And she's like, shoot, okay, I missed that. And then she looks over again and sees in the other lane that people are going there. And she's like, oh, okay, maybe I'll go there and get a spot. And she goes there. Still, someone else grabbed one. The spots were gone. She wasn't able to get one. She looks over again. And then the one she was just in, people are pulling out. And so she's like, oh my gosh. And long story short, she ended up having to park about a mile down the road from this hotel and get an Uber a mile because she didn't want to walk through the blizzard back to the hotel. She walked in late, did that awkward thing where you walk in and kind of like do that face where you're like, I'm sorry, and go and sit down. And she made this about a business lesson. And she at the end said, be aware that the moment that you decide to give up or the moment that you decide to quit may have been the second before your big breakthrough or the second before you start seeing shifts or the second before you see things start to work for you or the second before you get it. And you just stay focused, stay in your lane, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane, stay focused, keep your head down, keep working, because you never know the second things are going to start to shift for you if you give up. And it was literally about a parking lot.
Stories can be about everything. You don't have to have this was a huge learning piece for me because I have been so incredibly lucky in my life, and I don't have stories of betrayal or, you know, horrifying things. And I thought that I was less than because I didn't have those stories to share. And when I started sharing stories of like, what happened when I was drinking coffee on a Saturday morning?
Yep. Like, yeah. And you're so not alone too. All of my clients literally say, they're like, Jackie, I don't have a rags to riches story. You know, I grew up in a family that gave me, you know, a lot. I don't have a story of being homeless or, you know, being in major debt. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, like if you did, you know, you might feel like you might be complaining to me that you feel like everybody else who has a rags to riches story. You know, there's always something that looks like, oh, I wish I had this or that. But, you know, like you said, there are stories in every single thing we do every day. And when clients say that to me, I'm like, okay, what'd you do today? And they tell me about it. And I'm like, okay, there's a story. What did you learn from that? You know, what did that remind you of? What lesson did you take away from that? And, you know, if I'm feeling stuck, because, you know, sometimes it's hard, you know, sometimes you wake up and you're like, I have nothing to say. And if I'm feeling stuck, I get up and I grab one of the like many books off of my bookshelf, because I'm kind of like a book hoarder. Mm-hmm. And I like, that's my pastime. I go on Amazon and I buy a lot of books. So I pick a book and I just open to a random page and I read for about 5 minutes until something inspires me. And then it makes me think of some sort of story that happened this week or today or this month, something that I can relate back to my audience. And I turn whatever inspired me from that book into my content for the day or a topic for, you know, a video or a live or something like that.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be any more complicated than just going to the stories that you have, like literally in your living room or your bedroom or whatever. I love that. So storytelling is number one.
Storytelling is definitely number one. It is so, so powerful. Mm-hmm. And then kind of going off of that is just sharing your personality. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't have to be necessarily story style. And there's so many things to go into with story too before we move on to the next one. And I won't go super in depth with that, but there are so many pieces there to study. And I'm actually going to be doing a group program or course on this, or merging of the two. I haven't decided yet. Next month. I'm really excited about it. But you know, there's so many things to dive into there. Like, one of my favorite things to do is, if I'm going to be telling a story that's a little bit longer, I will start at the climax of the story. Mm. And I'm sure you've seen that before, where you see someone, you know, let's take Facebook or Instagram by example, you know, because that's where a lot of the content is in our industry. Mm-hmm. And so if you see a post or something and, you know, it catches your eye, it's often something that starts with the most exciting part. You know, it'll say something like, there I was in the hospital, and I had just given birth to my brand new baby boy. And I was thinking, you know, how my life was going to change so dramatically from here on out, and I would never be alone again, you know, or whatever. You know, it's something climactic and super intense and dramatic, and you really bring the drama and people are sucked in and they go, oh my gosh, I want to know what happens next. Why is she telling this story? What is the lesson here? I want to know. I need to know.
Yes.
And so that's a trick that I like to utilize is, you know, starting in the middle. You know, there I was in the middle of the kitchen floor on my knees, just like sobbing because I was, you know, $100,000 in debt, whatever it is. And those are for like the really dramatic stories, but you can also add the drama to stories that are not so like literally intense. Mm-hmm. And starting in the middle really serves as a pattern interrupt, especially in the newsfeed when there's so much noise going on. You need something to kind of jolt you and be like, oh, that's kind of interesting. I want to read that. And if there's another post that's like, content is important because, you know, like if you, if you read something like that, you're kind of just sort of like, okay, scroll whatever, you know, keep scrolling. Yeah. But if it's something that is more human and personal and has to do with emotion, then you become way relatable and you tap into that emotional center within your audience and they see themselves in your story, even if they haven't experienced anything even close to what you have experienced. Mm-hmm. They say what's most personal is universal because everyone can pick out something in there that they have felt or seen or, you know, experienced in some way.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, you had talked right at the beginning of our conversation about utilizing, you know, psychological principles as a strength, and like our brains are wired for story. Like we love the narrative form, just like at our most core place. And so I think that using story and really being able to learn how you weave a story and how you share it in a way that like connects with your people. And I love that idea of like starting in the middle because it totally shifts how we tend to tell a story.
Yes, totally. We're taught to do that whole story arc. Yes. And you know, it's fun to play with it and just see what works. And that's the thing, coming back to organic marketing, you can play with it. You know, there are no hard and fast rules when it comes to this stuff. You know, you can test and see what works really well. And you can take people through the intro of your story into the climax and conclusion like you would in, you know, high school papers, or you can play around with it, or you can reverse engineer it. I mean, there's so many ways to play with it, but story is such an awesome tool. And then the next thing that I want to mention is personality. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I talk about this all the time and it seems so obvious, like just be yourself, you know, but it's really not. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes from us just looking around and thinking, okay, Kate does her stuff so well. Her content is so nice. She has all these people engaging on her stuff, which is, you know, there's a lot of variables that go into that, right? Uh-huh. It's the algorithm, how long she's been doing this, like, you know, all this, how many friends she has, when she posts, if she posts a photo with it, you know, all of the things that go into engagement. But people look around and they go, oh, I like the way she makes me feel. I like that she has a bunch of engagement. I like this about her. I should be like that. And so I think that, and you know, no one's immune to it. We all do it, but you know, I feel like we look around so much searching for how we should act. And that's a psychological thing too. I mean, people do that. They look for the standard, you know, when we are at a party or at a conference, if one person is doing something or acting a certain way or dressed in a really fancy manner, we think, oh, am I underdressed? Or should I be doing this? Should I be introducing myself? What should I be doing? How should I act?
Right.
And we look for the standard. So when we see people doing things really well in our eyes, we try to mimic that. But what that creates is a bunch of people not really sure who they are or what their voice is, trying to somehow get people to pay attention to them. And so it becomes this screaming match of who can scream louder, be more interesting, or, you know,
yeah,
capture as many eyeballs. And I'm of the firm belief that there is more than enough attention, energy, money, clients, in the world for everyone to have their own little corner of the internet, being exactly who they are, speaking their truth.
Yes.
And, you know, that's, I believe that, but that means that we all have to be fiercely committed to really being ourselves. And that's hard sometimes.
Oh, I love that. I just am writing it down. Fiercely committed to being ourselves. And I think that's, I mean, when you like kind of pull back from the business lens, like that's, being ourselves is no small feat. We are all attempting to do it and unlearn the things that we've learned before. But I love that idea of like, figuring out who you are and like what you're super passionate about. Like if you are obsessed with Diet Coke, I don't know. I just like that. I threw that out there. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a Diet Coke in years, but
it's kind of got a cult following though.
It totally does. Like your, whatever that is, your cult following is out there too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like really being able to leverage what makes you unique. I think I've told the story before on the podcast, but I love to read about writing because that's how I nerd out. I'm so with you, Jackie. Like I have to put myself in book jail. Like
stop buying books
until you've read the ones on your bookshelf.
Do you read like five of them at once?
I have three going right now.
Yeah.
But this famous novelist was saying, when I am writing fiction, I don't read other fiction. Because what happens is those other great fiction writers, it starts seeping into your language and you stop really being able to write like yourself. And I think the same goes for content. Like if you are surrounded by noise, if you are constantly on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter trying to figure out what quote unquote everyone else is doing, you start to, we're using this word all the time, but you start to dilute your own voice. Like it just seeps in. And I love that you said that none of us are immune to it. We all fall victim to this. Like, you know, I know that there was, entrepreneurship goes in phases. Like there was like the Middle Finger Project. Like a lot of people started to throw F-bombs into their copy.
Yep.
Even the people who never swear, or, you know, some people like to be softer, even if they might have a more like brash and direct personality. And I think it does a disservice to your brand and to your clients when you don't really rock your personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I love that you touched on the fact that it is a disservice to the people you're trying to serve, because it so is. Have you ever met someone, and I think we talked about this before, when you see people on the internet and you admire them, whatever, you get to know their internet persona, and then you talk to them on camera or on video, or you meet them in person and you're like, who are you? This yes. is insane. Like you're like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. And they are completely different.
Not that person. Yes.
It's crazy. And, you know, I imagine that it would be the same internal shock that a client would experience mm-hmm. when you get on a phone call or on a video call, and you are like, okay, let's work together now. And, or you know, have an event and people come and they're like, oh my gosh, this is not what I expected. And, you know, it's more than that, but I just find that so interesting that happens so often. Cause I honestly hear it all the time, and
all
I'm like, how though? How,
yeah.
like, how does this happen? But
so
I don't know, some people put on this persona for the internet, and it's amazing, but it really does your audience a disservice if you're not, you know, using your voice and sharing your message, and not even from a point that, you know, you're not being true to yourself, but because they need to hear your message. Yes. You know, they don't need to hear Sally, Jane, and Becca's message. You know, Right. They, again, you know, they need to hear yours. And so, you know, it comes back to that kind of mental block of like, oh, I don't have anything to say, or I don't have any stories. And it's just, everyone does. And I think that, like you said, I mean, that goes back to awareness and looking inward and realizing, you know, how do I really want to impact people, and what are their main pain points, and how can I speak to that in a way that, you know, only I can, and in a way that feels organic, you know, to me, and how can I really touch them, and you'll attract those people. And I think when you put out that unique energy of just exactly who you are, your people match it. You know, you want people who vibe with what you're trying to say. And so if you want people who are a good fit, you have to be yourself. Otherwise, you'll be matching an energy that is not yours, and you'll bring in people who are a completely different vibe or, you know, type of person than you are. And it won't be a good fit. And so a lot of people who come to me and they're like, oh, I'm attracting the wrong people. I'm like, okay, well, do you feel like you're being yourself and, you know, sharing who you are and infusing your personality, what you do? And they're like, well, no. And I'm like, okay, well, that's why you're attracting people.
No wonder they're not dreamy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Oh my goodness, yes. Yeah, and then I think, you know, if you do, you know, I've had colleagues along the way who have worked with those people that the person that they were in their website copy or in their online content didn't really match the person that they were when they got into a coaching relationship or mentorship relationship or design relationship, and they were worse off for it. Like, not only were they definitely not that coach's or whatever dream client, but like, they weren't able to get what they thought that they were going to be able to get out of that relationship because it just wasn't necessarily in integrity or honest. So,
yeah. Yeah. And that's a whole nother side of, yes, of, you know, putting your message out there for sure. But it is something that I'm glad that you mentioned, because it really, integrity is one of my core values. And the biggest part of integrity is being you. Mm-hmm. It really is.
And knowing who that is.
Yep. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Oh, that's so good. I want to have you back. We have to wrap up for today, but I love your vibe.
Thanks. You too. And that is why we have found each other, because exactly, we are true to ourselves. Yay. And our messaging is so dang clear that we're like, hey, you're really cool. And you're like, hey, you're really cool. And it's perfect.
Exactly. It's perfect. You know, I will say, there's so much we could add, right? But like, there came a point where I don't know what point it was, but I know for myself, I got super clear on who I was and what I was about and those core values that you just mentioned. And maybe we can talk about that at some point. But once I got really clear on that, and then how they met with my dream clients, I want to say that like almost every single client that has ended up I've ended up working with one-on-one, or even in like less, like even in group arenas, has been like so dreamy, and the impact has just been magnified on both sides. And I just love that idea of like, there, when you are really clear and intentional and like grounded in who you are, and then make the courageous step to like put it out in the world and see what grows. Because I think that's also a side of organic marketing, right? Like, nothing can evolve if it's not out in the world.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could rant about this for days, like, you know, especially the topic of, you know, done is better than perfect, and just get started, just, you know, just begin, take the first step. I mean, I could talk about that for days, so we'll have to do another episode.
We will.
But I mean, you're so right. And those core value pieces too, that's another amazing topic. And it really does attract your people when you can identify what those core things are for you. And like my, one of my major ones is freedom in so many aspects of life and, you know, how I want my days to look, how I want my business to look, all of that sort of thing. And every, like you were saying, every person that I talk to, especially people who, you know, want to work together, I ask them that question on our, you know, onboarding forms. Mm-hmm. And almost to a T, they are so similar. It's like freedom and creativity and all of this amazing, juicy stuff that I'm like, you're in the right place.
Another one. It's revolutionary. Like, honestly, revolutionizes everything.
Yes. Love it.
Oh, okay. You'll be back.
This was so fun.
I know. Until then, where can our listeners find you on the internet? Because they need to follow you in all the places. Where's your favorite place to hang out first? And then where can they find you?
You know, right now I am torn between Facebook and Instagram. I'm starting to lean towards Insta. I'm a really big fan of the Instagram, of the gram. And I'm really enjoying it, especially now that they have the stories going on. Oh. I'm on stories like crazy. I love it. So I'm there at Jacqueline_Yvette. So that's JACQUELINE, spelled like Jacqueline, but it's pronounced the fancy French way, _Yvette, YVETTE on Insta. And then you can find me on Facebook. You could just search my name there. But yeah, I love both of those platforms. And I'm going to be actually starting a podcast of my own in a few months. Getting more active on YouTube as well. So you can find me in all the places.
I will link everything in the show notes. And I just am so grateful that you took the time to be here. I cannot wait to hear what y'all thought about this conversation and what you want to know more of, because I can bring Jackie in to talk about like what are the real questions that you have. Because I know that we could chat about this stuff forever.
I would so love that. I cannot wait to hear what everyone thinks. And thank you so much for having me. It was so fun. I can't wait to be back.
Woo!
Yay!
Thank you so much for listening to Amplify, a podcast for creative and courageous entrepreneurs. If you loved this episode, subscribe to make sure you never miss an Amplified beat. You can find resources, show notes, and downloads, plus my exclusive resource library at katekmccarthy.com. I am all about connection, and this internet thing makes it so easy. Come find me over on Instagram at Kate K. McCarthy. Then reach out and say hi. I adore you already. Thank you so much to everyone who makes this podcast possible. Amplify is produced by me and my slam bang behind the scenes team. Catch you next time.